Psalm chapter 4, 1 through 8. Zoe will read it in Mandarin. Please follow along in English.
OK, 我们今天的正道经文是再次诗篇第四章一到八节。我会来读中文，大家读英文的弟兄姊妹请自己看圣经。诗篇第四章第一节，是我为神的是我为义的神啊，我呼吁的时候，求你应允我。我在困苦中，你曾使我宽广，现在求你怜恤我，听我的祷告。你们这上流人啊，你们将我的尊荣变为虚辱，到几时呢？你们喜爱虚妄，寻找虚妄，要到几时呢？你们要知道，耶和华已经分别虔诚人归他自己。我求告耶和华，他必听我。第四节，你们应当畏惧，不可犯罪。在床上的时候，要心里思想，并要肃静。当献上公义的祭，又当依靠耶和华。第六节，有许多人说，谁能指示我们好处？耶和华，求你扬起脸光照我们，你使我们心里快乐，胜过那丰收五谷新酒的人。第八节，我必安然躺下睡觉，因为独有耶和华使我们安然居住。
The children are now dismissed for Sunday school. We give the following time to pastor.
小孩子请到主日学。
Brothers, sisters, and friends, peace be with you.
可能我们每一个礼拜啊，我们的问安都是习以为常的。
Well, every week when we just give greeting, we just take it for granted.
我们都已经基督徒已经对平安很多时候已经没有什么感觉了。
We kind of really don't feel anything real from seeing greeting.
当我们来看这个世界，就知道平安其实不是一个简单的事情。
But if we take a serious look at this world, then we don't take it so light on greeting.
那我们看到上一周那有这样不幸的事情。
We see again tragedy occur in the past week.
但是呢，在这一周我们看到了更不幸的事情。
Then this coming week, we have observed even more tragic events.
我们到今天早上我看新闻的时候啊，那一架飞机那还不知道。怎么回事？
Till this morning, I was checking on the news. The airplane went missing. Still, there's no certain news on it.
四十已经超过四十个小时。
It's been 40 hours.
没有任何的信息。
There's no any updates on it.
如果从目前的报道来看，是很令人担心的。
From the current report, it's really people are worried.
我讲的这个意思呢，是不是是一种自然的事故？
I'm not only speaking to the natural disaster aspect.
就是可能更可怕的事情在后面。
There might be something even more terrible behind.
所以我想，当我们来愿弟兄说弟兄姊妹平安的时候。
So I want to encourage you to think when we just say out, "Peace be with you."
我们就知道啊，在这个世界其实是没有平安的。
So we have to be reminded in this world we have no inner peace.
耶稣告诉我们，这个世界有苦难。
Jesus told us there are pain and suffering in this world.
但是耶稣说，我留下平安给你们。
But Jesus said, "I have leave the peace with you."
但是这个平安不是指着我们基督徒永远不会有患难有困难。
This peace does not mean we will not encounter any hardship or difficulty.
而是使我们心里面有力量去面对这个困难。
It means that Jesus has given us the strength to face such challenge.
就是无论我们遭遇多么大的灾难，我们心中有一种喜乐，有一种平安，是没有人可以夺去的。
No matter how much the difficulty or hardship we encountering, we have peace in heart.
我想我们 应该来为这个事件来祷告。
I encourage brothers and sisters to pray for this tragedy.
我们不知道这架飞机究竟发生了什么样的一个事故。
We don't know for sure what exactly happened to that aircraft.
但是我想呢，第一个我想要请大家为这些家人来祷告。
First of all, I want to encourage you to pray for those families affected.
第二呢，就是我们能够为这些处理这件事情的马来西亚政府以及包括现在各个国家的这些参与的人来祷告。
Then I ask you to pray for Malaysian government and other involved government who are participate in the search and the rescue efforts.
就我个人来的感受来看，我认为他们办事是很不利的。
Just my quick assessment on what they have done, I just thought they are very ineffective.
那么现在连美国的这个反恐的人，包括这个关于飞机的专家都去那边。
Actually, now even FBI from US, the experts from FBI are involved in the investigation on the possible terrorist attack.
当然了，因为到现在为止仍然不知道这个发生什么。
Because just we just know so little about what happened.
我们仍然要为在飞机上250多个人的生命来祷告。
We also pray for the
people, 239个人
for 239 passengers and crew on the aircraft.
所以呢我们迫切的愿望是希望有奇迹发生。
Of course, we expect for the miracle to occur.
但我们祈求上帝能够在这个事情里面以最好的结局来结束。
Then we know God has His plan, so the things can be ended according to His will.
按着你的感动。
Because of for based upon your sentiment,
按照你自己的在这个事情里面你想要祷告的内容部分
based upon what you want to say in your prayer for this event,
让我们在神的面前来祷告。
Let's pray for
每一个人在神的面前来祷告。
Let's pray before Lord,
就是每一个人都在神的面前出声来祷告。主，我们感谢你。今天早晨我们要来敬拜你，主，我们知道这个世界真是充满各种的未知的可怕。主啊，求你来看顾这些生命。主，我们不知道发生了什么，然而主啊，求你自己你的仁慈你的爱你的怜悯能够在这个事件中能够表达出来。主啊，求你自己能够怜悯，能够特别是这些正在焦急等待整整四十多个小时的这些家人。主啊，求你安慰他们的心。主，愿主你自己能够赐福给那些帮助他们家人的那些的辅导团队的那些弟兄姊妹们，让他们能够有智慧，让他们能够真正与他们能够一起悲伤一起同行。我主，求你自己能够赐福在特别来赐福这些班子在处理这些事务的那些官员组成的这个小组和那些专业人员，能够使他们能够尽快找到这个飞机，能够真正能够很有效的来解决这样的一个事故。主啊，求你能够怜悯我们，这样往里面向你祈祷。上帝，我们感谢你。
Father God, we thank you.
那我们今天来到你的面前来敬拜你。
We come before you to worship you.
你是让我赐给我们在这样一个美好的地方。
You have given us such a beautiful place.
让我们可以平安的生活。
Where we can live peacefully.
使我们可以平安地来敬拜你。
Where we can come to worship you.
我们知道这不是偶然的。
We know this is just not by random.
这也不是我们理所当然的。
This is not also we should have taken it for granted.
乃是你的恩赐。
This is because your blessing.
乃是你自己对你这百姓的赐福。
This is a blessing from you to your people.
主，我们特别要来为这个马来西亚这个航班的事故来祷告。
Lord, we particularly want to pray for this Malaysian aircraft.
主，我们特别求你自己能够安慰这些焦急等待的家人。
Lord, you yourself comfort those relatives who are in anxious wait.
主，有一些的弟兄姊妹，他们的一些的辅导，一些的帮助的团队和这些家人在一起。
Lord, you help those brothers and sisters who are in this special time trying to help those families through counseling.
你赐给他们智慧。
Give them wisdom.
使我们能够真正在你的面前与哀哭的人同哭。
So we can share the cry with others who are crying before you.
主，你自己亲自安慰他们的心。
Lord, you comfort their hearts.
主，我们也要为这些处理事故的这些小组的这些官员来向你祷告。
Lord, we also pray for all of the people involved in search and rescue efforts.
使他们有智慧。
So they have wisdom.
使他们能够有秩序。
So they can do things in order.
能够非常有效的来工作。
So they can work effectively.
主，求你自己特别能够怜悯。
Lord, have your mercy on.
能够在这个事情里面，让我们来看到一个不幸中的一个最好的结果。
Through this incident, that we can learn a lesson to see how you can make things happen in a tragic event.
主，虽然40多个小时过去了，没有一点的消息。
Lord, we still know little or nothing after 40 plus hours passed.
我们知道在你没有难成的事。
Lord, we know if you want to do, nothing's impossible.
我们不知道这是不是最后是不是会有奇迹出现。
We don't know if the miracle will occur.
然后我们来向你祈求。
But we pray before you, Lord.
那还有一丝的希望的时候，我们就要把这样的一个危险的事情交托在你的手中。
There's still if one chance we want to, you know, to pray for that.
主，你知道在这些每一个重大的灾难都是对我们信心的极大的挑战。
For you know that for every challenge come before us, it's a lesson to learn.
让我们能够来透过这个事件来思想你奥秘难测的旨意。
So we can really think about your will, which is sometimes incomprehensible through such events.
让我们的信心能够在你的圣言中得到坚定。
So our faith can be strengthened in your words.
让我们的心能够在耶稣基督并他的钉十字架里面得到安慰。
So our hearts can be comforted through the cross.Died, where Jesus died.
主，你自己保守我们今天的聚会。
Bless all today's worship.
能够透过这篇诗篇，能够对我们的心灵说话。
We want to listen to your speaking through this hymn, through this psalm.
让我们看到大卫在他危险的各种的患难中，怎么样在你的面前仍然有喜乐和平安。
It reminds us how David still have the peace and joy before you, even he has encountered danger and difficulties.
主，求你的圣灵来应用你的话。
May your Holy Spirit use your words
来安慰我们的心
to comfort us
来更新我们
to reform us
来光照我们
and to shine upon us
让我们能够真正学习懂得活在你的旨意里面
so that we can learn how to live in your will
奉主耶稣基督的名祷告
We pray in Jesus' name
Amen
Amen
我们今天要来看这个诗篇是一首晚间的祷告
Today we come to this special psalm. It's about evening prayer.
我们知道在诗篇有接近一半都是大卫的作品。
We know about half of the Psalms written by David.
但是呢，这些诗歌很多都是一些的晚间和早晨的祷告。
A lot of this Psalms written by David are either morning or evening prayers.
对一个基督徒来讲，那每天的祷告是很重要的。
To a Christian, having prayer is a very important thing you do in every day.
我忘记掉有一个人讲过一句话是谁讲的，但是他讲的非常 的经典。
I remember a quote. I can't recall who wrote it.
他说祷告，早晨的祷告和晚间的祷告对基督徒来讲意味着什么。
He talks about how morning prayer and evening prayer mean to a Christian.
他说祷告，早晨的祷告是开启一天的钥匙。
He said, "Morning prayer is a key to start a day."
他说晚间的祷告是关闭一天的锁。
Then he also said that the evening prayer is a lock to conclude a day.
所以我们今天每一天的生活是用祷告来开启的。
So we start every day's life with a morning prayer.
那我们每一天的结束是用祷告来关闭的。
Then we conclude a day with an evening prayer.
但是我们需要了解一点，就是按照犹太人的算法，晚间的祷告才是新的一天的开始。
So we have to understand that in Jewish tradition, that the evening prayer is the way to start a day.
这是有圣经根据的。
Of course, this is based upon scripture.
因为上帝创造世界的时候，是那个每一天的次序是什么？
So when God created the universe, what was the order of his creation?
就是那个算一天是怎么算的。
How he counts on the day?
是有晚上，有早晨，这是第几天？
It's the night and the morning. What day is that day?
所以在创世纪的第一章呢，它就有一周的那个结构在里面。
So in the first chapter of Genesis, we see the time structure in terms of a weekly time structure.
也许那个创世纪里面的一天不是24个小时。
Maybe in that time, in the time of Genesis being read, in the time of creation, one day does not mean 24 hours.
但是呢，那里有一个结构，就是一周的生活的结构。
But it does suggest a weekly structure.
所以在那里呢，就是晚上是开启新的一天。
So in there, you can realize actually evening starts a day.
所以对于犹太传统来讲，晚间的祷告，这个黄昏的祷告，就是一天的开始。
So for Jews, then having evening prayer is the start for a day.
在圣经里面有这样一个结构，就是那不是先工作了然后再休息，而是休息了再工作。
Also, scripture reminds us that a life structure for us is we rest. We begin with rest and then go to work.
所以你看，一个礼拜也是这样的结构。
And the same similarity works to the weekly structure.
所以礼拜天是一天的第一天。
So Lord's Day is the first day of week.
一周的第一天 ，sorry 啊。那然后呢？礼拜六是一周的最后一天。
And Saturday is the last day of the week.
但是很多基督徒到现在都不明白，认为礼拜天是一周的最后一天。
But still until now, some Christians thought Sunday is the last day of the week.
圣经里面没有出现这个礼拜天这个字。
In Scripture, there's no term Sunday used.
但是呢，他的叫法叫七日的第一日。
But he called the first day of the 7 days.
因为安息日是第七日。
Because the Sabbath is the 7th day.
安息日就是礼拜六。
The Sabbath is Saturday.、Actually.
所以这个第七日啊，这个第一天呢就是礼拜天。
So the first day is actually Sunday.
所以圣经里面给我们看见这个结构是。人在神的面前有一个安息，然后开始工作。
So it really scripture suggested to us a clear structure. We need to have a good rest before we go to work.
所以你不要这样想哈，因为你一周工作很累了，所以礼拜天最后呢到教会去。
So it's really you can't think the other way around. Meaning you have a long week hard work, then you go to church on Sunday.
是因为接下来的一周工作可能很累，所以你要在教好好在教会，在你的身心有一个啊休整，你得面对啊新的一周的工作。
On the contrary, you should come on Sunday with our thinking you're preparing for a week ahead that you may have a lot of difficulty work.
所以一天的我们的基督徒生活也是一样。
So the Christian's life it's very much like this.
我们有一个很好的灵修生活的开始。
So we should have a good start in our spiritual devotion.
就是在这个晚间的祷告。
For our evening prayer.
就的意思就是要把昨天的事情结束了，要开启另外的一天。
It's really meant for you to conclude what has happened the day before and pray for the day to come.
而在开始一天之前做什么呢？
Before you start a day, what should you do?
就是好好睡一觉。
So you need to take a good sleep.
所以睡觉是我们人生里面很重要的问题。
So sleep is really very important thing in your life.
你可能没有好好的想过这个问题，就是你一辈子最多的时间主要就是睡觉度过的。
I don't know if you ever thought about most of the time in your life you spend on sleeping.
你说我没有啊，我大概每天睡八个小时，所以另外十六个小时都在做事。
Then you may disagree with me by saying, well, I only sleep 8 hours a day. The rest of the time, I'm working.
有一点是肯定的，你其他的时间没有一天里面八个小时都在做同样一件事情。
Of course, there's one thing certain. In a given day, you won't doing anything for 8 hours as you do on sleep.
你说我都坐在办公室里面工作了。
But you can say that, yeah, I spent 8 hours in my office.
那个老板是看表面，没有看你内心呢。
But because the boss cannot check your heart, but they only see you're sitting there at work.
但是一天里面只有睡觉，你是专心致志，那毫无什么别的，没有做别的事情，你专心的睡觉。
But only 8 hours sleep in a day, you're so concentrated.
我们难以相信。
We kind of
hard to believe it. 我们想要很出色。
We want to be outstanding.
我们要很努力的工作。
We want to work hard.
但是我们却得乖乖的把最多的精力时间放在睡觉上。
But the irony is we have to spend a lot of our time on sleep.
所以对这个现代人来讲是一个很大的讽刺。
For people in the modern society, what an irony is this.
因为什么呢？因为我们要拼命的工作。
Because we have to work hard like a dog.
我们要掌管自己。
We want to have best control of ourselves.
还要掌管别人。
We want to have also good control on others.
但是呢，我们却要什么呢？就有一天三分之一的时间，我们就像死了一样。
But for one third of our daily time, we really live in a deadly man way.
而谁最死的最彻底，谁就是最幸福的。
Who died, you know, completely, then who is even happier come to the quality of sleep.
但是我们知道这个睡觉确实是现代人很大的难题。
But we know for some people, sleep is really our dilemma or challenge in many ways.
很多人失眠。
Because many people have this sleeping disorder.
所以以前呢，我都发现呢，来教会的人有人要睡觉，我们都要拼命把他叫醒。
Used to sort of see the situation where some people come to church and fall into sleep during the preaching.
但是如果现在有人要睡觉，你就不要叫醒了。
But now I'm telling you, if you see someone sleeping beside you,
为什么？因为好不容易来到教会，他才得到医治。
So don't wake them up because they are healed in the sleep when they come to church.
所以现代人呢，在晚上的睡觉已经现代人是个难题了。
So for people in the modern society, sleep seems to be a challenge.
因为他的心灵没有安息。
Because there's no peace in their heart.
很多的事情让他的心里面痛苦困扰。
Because they are troubled and confused inside.
他充满焦虑。
They are worried about.
那不知道明天会怎么样。
They don't know what will be happening tomorrow.
所以他没有办法好好的睡觉。
So they have no peace to have a good sleep.
那么在大卫的这个诗篇里面，发现大卫也发现他自己也很难睡觉。
In David's psalm, he encounters the same problem. He can't get into good sleep.
所以他写下这个晚间的祷告。
So then he wrote this evening prayer.
然后他能够什么心满意足的去睡觉。
Then he wanted to satisfy or comfort, ease her heart to go to a good sleep.
在1980年的时候，这个 John Piper 牧师写了 一小篇文章，很好玩，叫做《睡觉神学》。
In the 1980s, Pastor John Piper wrote a short essay titled as A Concise Sleep Theology.
什么叫睡觉神学？
What is sleep theology?
上帝创造我们，让我们必须要睡觉。
God created us for the need of sleep.
他要让我们知道自己的软弱。
He wants us to learn our weakness.
你不是神。
Because we are reminded, we are not a God.
你只是一个软弱的人。
You're just a weak-minded person.
所以你需要睡觉。
So you do need to sleep.
而上帝吩咐我们在睡觉之前要祷告。
And God also has instructed us to have prayer before sleep.
就是要让你知道，他才是神，你不是神。
But again, you're instructed that he's God, you're not.
你是软弱的。
You are a weak man.
你是需要上帝的帮助。
You need help from God.
所以我们的晚间的祷告，它不只是说我应该为哪些事情祷告。
So your evening prayer is not only about, you know, what I should do the day after.
而是要对上帝一个不断的更新的认识。
It's also our opportunity for you to come to before God and to get a new understanding.Through reformation.
而对自己一种不断的一种了解。
It's also get to know yourself better.
能够不因此透过这个祷告来调整你跟上帝之间那种更正常的关系。
So you can adjust and even modify the relationship before you and God through evening prayer.
所以大卫在这个祷告里面，他没有把自己的这个。没有把自己的这个所谓属灵的经验作为自己啊独享。
So in David's psalm, we see that God, David is not trying to focus on only his personal experience, spiritual experience.
而是把这个交给什么呢？交给灵长，说大卫的诗交于灵长。
Instead, he given this psalm to the director of music.
或者呢，这个有些人把它翻译为这个合唱指挥。
Some people even translate it in different ways, saying it's the conduct of the orchestra.
Choir master.
Choir master.
然后呢，这什么意思呢
？What does this mean?
大卫的这首歌要用在公共场合唱出来。
Because this psalm will be sung out before the public.
犹太人聚会的时候要唱一首晚间的歌。
For Jew, they will sing a hymn before the evening prayer.
所以这里的意思大概是说，
this is really means,
这个睡觉的问题不只是大卫的个人问题，也是大家的问题。
So, having a sleeping problem is not only David's problem; it's a problem for many.
因此，透过这首歌是一个教导。
So through this psalm, it's a teaching.
我们怎么在紧张、困苦、不幸、恐慌的生活里面，在上帝的面前有安息
？So we can really gain peace from God when we are facing distress and challenge.
而且呢，大卫说了，这首歌呢不是清唱，还要用乐器。
Then David saying it's just not sin without instrument. You need an instrument.
而这个乐器用叫丝弦的乐器。
It's a string instrument.Called something called Najinoth.
Yeah, 那个希伯来文对，那个是一个意思，就是用丝做起来的乐器。
Yes, it's in Hebrew means an instrument made of psalms.
到底是什么乐器呢？不，没人知道。
What really that instrument would look like? Nobody knows.
现在，即使现在有这么发达的考古学，我们还没有找出来这个乐器到底是怎么长什么样子。
Even we have a lot archaeological records, we still don't know what that instrument really look like.
Yeah, 通常猜想就是有两种。
There are two speculations on it.
一种呢，就是大家看的那这样形状的，然后中间呢有几条弦。
One is like what he just
described. 就是下在好多钢琴上面有的那个标志哈，就是这样一个形状，然后中间几条弦。
Like there's a frame, then there's a few strings.
另外一种呢，就是这样一个弯弓，然后几条弦，这就是竖琴。
Then the other suggestion is something really look like harp.
所以这个有一个荷兰画家啊，跟达芬奇他们齐名的。
There's a Dutch painter which is very famous, like Da Vinci.
他叫 Rubens.
Rubens
就是。就是这个圣经里面那个流变那个字 的荷兰文、OK 那然后他画了这个大卫的诗歌第四篇的这个画了一个画呢就是竖琴大卫在弹竖琴
Yeah, he paint our picture about the scene in Psalm 4 where you see David is play something like a harp
那但是呢，有一点是肯定的，如果像这样一个弯弓加几条弦，那肯定是小很多 的乐器，不会像现代竖琴那么大。
Well, this instrument probably will be smaller than a harp in size.
所以大卫在他给这首歌叫人去唱，而且还要加上乐器的伴奏。
So David has suggested that people sing out this psalm and even with music.
我想透这个机会呢，这个讲诗篇的机会，弹一点点音乐。
So I want to take this opportunity on preaching psalms to actually talk a little bit about music.
你们知道在乐器是很重要的。
We know instrument is important in the music.
在大卫的经历里面，那个乐器到什么样一个地位呢？
For David's experience, how important is the music instrument?
他甚至呢，弹琴就可以赶鬼。
He even like a play music instrument.They can cast the demon.
所以大卫在小时候在旷野放羊的时候
，When he was in his childhood, shepherding the sheep in the wild,
大概有两件事情是他常常锻炼的。
He usually practiced on two things.
因为放羊没什么事嘛。如果你们看到那个草原放羊，真是没事可做的。那所以就在那里干什么呢？就在那里弹琴练琴。
When you're herding the sheep, that you seem to have no other thing to do, then he used to play a music instrument.
第二个呢，大概就是练那个弹弓。
And the other things is to play with the strings.
那个甩石头。
The sling, yeah, the sling, yeah.
为什么呢？因为他打死哥利亚就是用那个，所以估计他练了很多。
He killed Goliath. With that sling, actually.
所以大卫是一个音乐家。
So David is a musician in a way.
他要这个歌呢，要配上这个乐器。
So he sing a psalm that he needs music.
为什么这个乐器很重要
？Why music instrument is important to him?
我们能够唱得出来的那个词，这是一个境界。
Well, when we sing a song, singing out lyric is one thing.
而没有词是另外一个境界。
And singing out something without lyric is another matter.
所以在俄罗斯有一个音乐家，他说这个乐器声音是什么？
So there's a Russian musician says something like this.
他说这个乐器的声音是人类的第二语言。
He says the sound from music instrument is the second kind of language from humankind.
而且呢，另外一个音乐家说的比他更深奥。他说什么呢？这个什么叫第二语言呢？就叫做灵魂的语言。
Then there's another musician put it even better by saying, "What is this second language, human second language about? Actually, it's a language from soul."
也就是说，当我们用话说不出来的时候
，In other words, when you can't, when you're speechless in words.
当你用你的思想逻辑没有办法分析的时候
，When you can't analyze, you know, by your logic，
但那个时候的那个乐器，那就能够把你表达出来。
Then you realize that music instrument can express something you cannot even。
我以前想一个问题很久。
I've thought about this idea。
就是那些人练琴，一辈子练琴，每天八个小时、十个小时这样弹钢琴。
For those people who practice music instrument for more than 8 or 10 hours a day,
那一辈子呢，就是在那里敲敲打打，就这样过去了。
So they sort of spend a lot of time in their life by practicing.
留给人类到底有什么意义
legacy then he or she has left to the human.
当然从职业的角度来讲很有意义啊，因为他能养活自己。
From a professional point of view, that's his profession, so he can live on that.
对某一些消费者来讲他也有意义。
For consumers, that's meaningful too.
因为他弹琴的那些技术让他什么，让他感到快乐。
Because the audience really enjoyed the skill showed through the music performance.
但是其实在这背后 有更深的含义，可能是连那些音乐家都不懂。
But there's something deeper in meaning which the musician even do not pay attention to it either.
音乐是上帝在创造中给人一种给人让人的灵魂跟上帝对话的一种语言。
Music actually is a special language created by God to enable us to have a conversation with God.
关于这方面的音乐哲学我不会讲很多。
No, I'm not going to go on with the philosophy of music.
所以大卫他非常懂。
So David has good knowledge on this.
他要把这个歌要加上乐器。
So he requires that the music part coming with this scene.
是要把灵魂里面更深的那个感受能够透过另一个方式表达出来。
He wants that the music instrument can express some of his feeling deep in his heart.
我想可能如果爱音乐的人可能会有一个体会。
For people who love music, you may share this experience.
就是有的时候你心里面一种很古怪的那种感觉，你就没有办法控制，你很难受的时候。
When you have a really unique and strange feeling deep in heart, you feel have no control over.
你那个时候的说话，你不希望听到说话。
So at that moment, you don't want to say anything.
但是一个纯粹的优美的声音，那个时候可以安慰你。
But a really beautiful voice could comfort you.
在圣经里面还有一个例子，就是当他弹琴的时候，那个先知就开始说预言，就圣灵感动开始说预言。
There's another example recorded in Bible is when music started, then the prophets usually give prophecy.
所以对我们教会弹琴要求很高啊。
That really,
所以呢，大家开始弹一弹琴的时候，所有会众都很感动，哇，那是不得了。
So if pianist start to play the music, then the congregation is so touched.
这个乐器有的时候的深度是超过唱歌的。
So the music played by instrument sometimes outpower singing.
那我们现在要进入到这个歌词里面。
Now let's look at the lyrics of the song.
在我按照中文的这个次序来讲解。
I'm trying to preach in order of Chinese
translation. 大家不用担心，我们今天只会讲第一节。
Don't worry about my pace. I'm going to maybe only finish the first words.
在中文里面，这第一句话说：“显我为义的神呐、啊，这是大卫呼求的对象。”
So David said, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God."
但是在这里是有一点留意的，大卫不是说他在上帝的面前是。自己是个义人。
Well, we have to pay attention to the purpose of David is not to claim he's a righteous man before God.
或者是一个他夸口，他的敌人都是有罪的，只有我是清白的。
Oh, he's really boasting that all of my enemy are evil doers. I am a righteous man.
其实不是这个意思。
He does not mean that.
因为他在下文呢，在下面第四句话他就说求你怜恤我，求你怜悯我。
But I don't think David means that because in the subsequent words he said have mercy on me.
意思就是他自己是不配的，是需要上帝怜悯的。
Because he realized he's unworthy, he needs mercy from God.
那这里显我为义的上帝是什么意思呢？
But what does it mean when he says or righteous God?
意思是只有上帝是公义的审判者。
Because he's saying only God is righteous judge.
是只有那些敌人不是公义的标准。
Then saying the standards set by the enemy are not righteous.
这一篇诗篇的背景是大卫遭受苦难。
You have to remember the background of this psalm. David is encountering hardship.
被很多人论断围攻。
He was judged by many people.
但大卫说，那个义只有在上帝那里。
Then David said that the righteousness is only with God.
别人怎么看我，我不在乎。
I care less for how other people view me.
别人认为我怎么样，那不是最重要的。
How other people view me is not very important in my life.
上帝才是唯一的判断者。
God is the only judge.
所以大卫说，神就是他的义。
So David is saying that the righteousness is from God.
所以也这个话的意思，也就是上帝是他唯一信赖的倾诉的对象。
So he's also alluded to that God is the only righteous and faithful listener.
因为上帝会按照他的公义来听他的祷告。
Because God can hear his prayer according to righteousness.
这句话同时又包含了，如果大卫是不义的，他的祷告也得不到神的这个答应。
In other words, if you take from a different angle, it also means God will not hear David's prayer if David is not indeed a righteous man.
所以意思是，当你在上帝的面前是蒙悦纳的时候，你就会得到神的垂听。
So it's if your prayer can please God, then God will listen, will hear your prayer.
但这不是按照人们的判断。
This is not depend upon
上帝才是唯一的判断者。
This is not depend upon human judgment.
那我想这节经文对我们有个很重要的教导。
So there's an important teaching point from this verse.
基督徒的形式不是让人满意。
What we do as Christian is not to satisfy people.
不是人人觉得你都好。
It's not really,
都觉得你好。
Not really about everybody really praises you.
而是你在上帝的面前问心无愧。
But rather, you are unashamed before God.
在美国的教会史上
In American church history,
发展出一个很重要的，或者说非常明显的一个神学，叫良心自由。
There's an important theological movement called the freedom of conscience.
那不就是这是一个 term， 不是一个 movement， 就是一个神学的
a term， theological term called the conscience， the freedom of conscience.
良心的自由，意思就是指。他自己面对上帝负责做出的这个做出他的行动。
It means you have a clear conscience before Lord when you take action.
他不是要面对的不是让人觉得他好或者不好，而是他的良心直接面对上帝。
It's not about you feel how you feel yourself about good or bad. It's to put your conscience before God.
所以很多人说大卫的坏话。
So many people really say bad things about David.
但大卫说，我的判断，我的乃是神。
So then David said, all the judgment comes from God.
但是在第二句话呢，按照我们中文的秩序呢，这是在希腊文有一个特别的翻译。
Well, when it comes to the second verse, there will be a special way of translating it if you read original Greek text.
那我查了一下这个希伯来文，发现呢，在原文希伯来文的结构里面，没有希腊文那么生动。希腊文是翻译的啊。
I really looked into both Hebrew text and the Greek translation. I can tell the richness of Greek translation.
在希腊文里面怎么翻译呢？
How it was translated in Greek.
他说，当我正在呼求他的时候。
It means when I'm calling upon him.
那么上帝，我已经听了我。
The God has already heard my
prayer. 大家注意到这两个的时态很有意思。
Pay attention to the tense used in the sentence.
我的祷告是正在现在进行式。
So the prayer is ongoing progressive.
而那个上帝听我的祷告是过去式。
But God has heard my prayer is a complete.
所以在英文里面你会觉得非常古怪，那叫什么呢？叫上帝说，当他祷告的时候 ，I will answer.
So you feel like in Chinese translation, in English translation, it's a little bit odd grammatically.
就是说他正在祷告，但是我将要已经答应，这是没有办法翻译啊。就是说我将要，但是呢，那个答应又是过去式的。
So it sounds like someone is still praying, but I will have listened.
就是说啊，就是当别人有什么事情请求你的，你回答说的 I will did.
So if someone asks you to do something, you say I will have done it.
这个在文法上很难理喻的。
This is sounds like a really odd grammatically.
将来是怎么和过去式碰在一块呢？
How the future tense, you know, come in combination with past complete.
但是这个希腊文的翻译，它表达了这个希伯来文的这个神学含义。
But then the Greek translation really inherits well the meaning. Embedded in Hebrew.
大家要知道，这真是一个很了不得的事情。
So this is a really fabulous, you know, meaning hidden there.
为什么？因为你正在祷告，但是上帝那边已经答应了。
Because this is really like you are still praying, then God has promised fulfill your prayer.
而在这个以赛亚书的表达的更加彻底。
This has been expressed in the book of Isaiah.
说什么呢？他们尚未祈求，我已应允。
It says there that they even have not started to appeal. I have promised.
而他们正在祷告的时候，那个已经成就。
And then when they are praying, then I fulfill what they are praying for.
什么意思呢？
What does that mean?
就是当我们心里面要向上帝祷告的时候，可是那件事情已经成就了。
It means that we are still trying to express our desire through prayer. God actually has fulfilled it.
可能你的心里面有个问题。
Then here comes a question you have.
什么？因为你可能会认为说，这样呢，我为什么还要祷告呢？
You will ask about the necessity of praying.
我正准备祷告的时候，上帝已经答应了。
It's like I'm about to pray, and God has fulfilled it.
所以呢，你。好像什么好像我就比较粗俗的比喻是什么，正你准备开口向你爸爸要钱的时候呢，你爸早已经把支票给你了。
Just like an example, you're about to say to your father, I need some money,
那我
the father already hand over a check to you.
那我还要不要说呢？
So then your question is, do I need still to speak?
所以啊，这个有一派的人是说，祷告反是祈求都是多余的，只要说感谢就 OK 了。
So some people saying,Anything you put in prayer is unnecessary.
什么意思啊？
Just say, thank you.
因为上帝已经给你了。
Because God will give you everything.
所以你现在祷告，你就说感谢上帝就好了。
So what you need to really say in the prayer, just say, thank God.
其他说都是多余的。
Anything else you say, useless.
那这里面还包含一个问题。
Then there's another question.
这意思就是说，那这样的话，我还没有祷告，上帝就成就那意思就是我们是可以去支配上帝的。
Then the problem is about if we have not done our prayer, then that God will fulfill. Does that mean we can control God?
我们的意志可以去赢得上帝的意志。
So our will can win over God's will.
那到底这是怎么样一回事？
What does this really mean?
我们要知道，第一个我们要知道，上帝在我们没有祷告的时候，他就施恩给我们。
We have to know even before.We pray, God has given grace to us.
你今天的平安不是你祷告的结果。
Today's peace you have is not a result of your prayer.
是上帝怜悯的结果。
It's the result of God's mercy.
而基督徒要知道，我们所求的上帝早已经知道。
Then Christians have to be reminded all of the time that the thing we even know before, God has already known.
那我们为什么还要祷告？
But you ask, why then do we need to pray?
因为祷告是让我们来认识上帝。
Because pray is a process that we get to know God.
祷告来认识自己的软弱。
Praying enable us to realize our weakness.
祷告是来调整我们与上帝之间的关系。
Prayer can enable you to adjust the relationship before us and
God. 祷告使我们的灵里面保持一种敏感。
So we can stay alert in our spirit.
所以在祷告里面，我们与上帝亲近。
So we can come near to God through prayer.
就好像你跟你的 父子的，你跟你父亲的关系。
It's just like the relationship between you and your father.
不是我们我们天天要求个没完。
It's not really you plead many things in your prayer.
你不需要每天求你的老爸说，今天我有饭吃吗？
You don't have to really appeal to your father saying, "Do I have food to eat today?"
但是呢，但是在正常的关系里面，你需要跟父亲说话。
But in a normal relationship between father and the son, you need to say something to your father.
所以我们对上帝说话不都是因为有必须的要求。
So as we say something through prayer to God, doesn't mean we have needs in a prayer.
其实我们知道神没有什么不愿意不给我们。
We have to know God has nothing to hold off.
圣经说什么？说上帝连他的独生子都赐给我们，还有什么舍不得给我们？
In the scripture, we were told God has even given us His only beloved Son. So what
else? He
would not.
你还要向上帝求什么？
So what else you want to appeal?
但是神的愿望是我们亲近他。
So God's desire is for us.To get near to him.
是我们和神之间的关系能够真正表达那儿女和父亲的关系。
So our relationship is really like a son and a father.
所以你要知道，祷告不是一种功能。
So prayer does not serve a function.
一个开关。
It's not just a button.
所以祷告不是什么，不是取款机一样的。
It's not
上帝好像一个上帝好像一个取款机一样的。
It's not like God is the ATM machine.
你只要按照圣经在那里按几个字母，然后那个钱就跑出来了。
So if you touch the button according to what Scripture says, then you cash out the money.
祷告表达的是我们跟上帝之间那种最深层的一种心灵的关系。
Prayer really reflects the deepest and closest relationship between us and God.
我们知道上帝乐意赏赐我们万有。
We know God is really like to give us everything.
但我们不断地把自己的软弱，把我们自己的自己能够敞开在神的面前。
But we need to have come to before God and open ourselves up.
所以祷告不是一种征服。
So prayer is not about conquering.
所以呢，上帝有什么不愿意给你，然后你呢就要使尽办法，要一定要上帝非给不可，不行呢，我要怎么样，就要闹脾气了。
It was really not about that you doubt about what God can give you, and then you actually have complaints in your prayer.
一般祷告没有用，你就用很大声祷告。
So you say like general praying maybe does not work.Then you shout it in
那个大声没有用你们知道韩国人祷告是很大声，而且动作很粗暴。
If you pray aloud, you don't feel that's necessary. Think about the example from Korean people when they pray.
发现那个大声也没用呢。
If you think that praying in loud voice is not,
你就开始表演什么非常悲情的语调。
Then you start to pray.
然后呢
in other very special tone.
一把眼泪一把鼻涕。
Then you cry.
上帝说不要这样了，我受不了了，给你就算了。
Then you expect that God will say, don't do this. I'm
基督徒的祷告不是愚公移山。
So the prayer from Christian is not trying to move a mountain.
你们知道这种祷告是旧约里面那些假先知的表演。
The prayer like that is really an act of false prophecy in the Old Testament.
你们知道在以利亚在那个山上跟那些假先知在那个他们在祷告他们的神，好像没有反应，结果他们怎么样，又跳舞又拿刀割自己又唱歌，那在那里不停的表演，可是结果呢什么也没用。
So you remember that Elijah with those false prophets on the Mount Carmel, and those false prophets was jumping up down dancing and saying thingsand doing very all sort of odd acts, but it did not work. It's just in vain.
所以祷告不是你对上帝的一种征服，一种强制，一种表演，而是你在上帝面前，你的心思意念，你的行事为人蒙上帝喜悦。
So prayer has nothing to do with a heart of a conquering, and a heart of a pleading.And also you try to perform something before God for whatever the result you expect.
大卫说：“我在困苦中，你使我宽广。”
So God saying, David said, release me in my distress.
这里的意思是困苦，在希伯来文的意思是他走到一个地方，那个没有地方转身，那个墙角没有办法转身。
The word distress means in Hebrew context is someone go to our corner of wall.
所以有一个英文圣经翻译的很直白，说我在没有容身之地，你给我预备的房间。
So another English translation is saying that in a very small space, you prepared a room for me.
但是呢，这里说你使我宽广。
But here it says you relieve.
你的人生穷迫到一个地步，没有办法转身。
So you are in a very hard circumstances. You can't even turn yourself around.
但是上帝却为他什么开辟了一片广阔的境地。
But God has opened a wide a field for you.
这是什么山重水复？
So this is like you really get this solution after a long time of suffering.
但是神的拯救来到的是什么？是柳暗花明。
Then God's salvation is really like you after the hard time, you arrive the coast.
所以大卫在过去的经历里面，他得到了安慰。
So David was comforted by his prior experience.
他得到了鼓励。
He was encouraged.
他知道受苦和他是有益处的。
He knows that having those painful experience is beneficial to him.
所以诗篇119篇的第71节很好的解释这个经历。
So if you think about the Bible verses from Psalm 119, verse 71, is really a good explanation to David's experience.
他说，不是大卫，不一定是大卫，
Not only to David, but to many
others. 我受苦是与我有益，为要学习你的律例。
It is good for me to be afflicted so that I can learn your disgrace.
所以他现在知道神没有难成的事情。
So now he is understanding there's nothing that God cannot do.
所以大卫在进入到正式祷告内容那个祈求的项目的时候，他说：“现在你怜悯我。”
So now when David began to plead,
大卫知道
in the prayer, he's saying,
知道自己在上帝面前是不配的。
He's saying, have mercy on me because I'm unworthy.
需要上帝的怜悯。
I need your mercy.
早期教会的一个口头禅之一就是耶稣怜悯我。
So it is a very common prayer in earlier church time, have mercy on me.
或者叫做主怜悯我。
Oh, Lord, have mercy on me.
那在后来的这个所谓天主教的这个弥撒里面呢，就有一段叫慈悲经，就是叫主你怜悯我们。
Then it became a tradition in Catholic Mass, people saying it mercy through. Or Lord has mercy on us.
每一个人到上帝面前的祷告都得记得我们是不配的。
So everyone, when you come to pray before Lord, you have to remember we are unworthy.
我们需要上帝的怜悯。
We need mercy from God.
即使是大卫这样蒙神喜悦的合神心意的人。
Even person like David, who is liked by God.
他也一样需要上帝的怜悯。
He also needs mercy from God.
愿主赐福大家。
May God bless you.